Without further ado, Purim is a very peculiar holiday that Chazal, set up. It's two different days. It's Purim and Shushan Purim, a sign which there is no other chag like this. No other chag like this. You know, that which we have Yom Tov Sheni Sholgolius is because we just have a suffix. But everyone agrees Pesach is on the 15th of Nisan. You know, Sukkot is on the 15th of Nisan. Shavuos is on the 6th of Sivan. And Chutzlars, I wish they have a second day. It's because of Sveika de Yoima, because in the old days they didn't know which day, the Bezdin declared as Rosh Chodesh. But in principle, it's on that day for everybody. And Purim comes, and Chazal were Mechalik, and they made two separate Purims. The Purim de Prozim and Shushan Purim. And that needs to be understood. What is the inyan of Shushan Purim and why? Why it's either or? Now we do have in halacha certain towns like Hebron or Tveria, right? That keep both days, but that's again because of a suffix that they don't know if they're here. Yudalit or Tesvav, right? Yes, they have a double Purim. Now Tveria has a dilemma. Because it's not Mukav Choma all from all four sides. From one side is the Mediterranean, right?
I don't know if they're the Kinneret.
That's right. So it's a suffix. It's a very suffix Gemara. They don't. They're to be machmir to keep both days because it's not totally encircled because one side is water, right? I forget what the suffix is in Hebron. I don't remember what the issue was, but again, this doesn't break the rule that in principle it's supposed to be those who keep the 14th do not keep the 15th, and those who keep the 15th do not keep the 14th. That's the way it's supposed to be. The fact that there's some towns that keep both, that's because of stuff. They don't know if they belong to the 14th or to the 15th. Yeah.
Okay. Some little stuff will go on.
Yes.
So it keeps one day. Then they go to her mother.
Right.
Yerushalayim, who is now keeping the second day.
Right.
And, they got along with them over there.
But their mitzvahs are totally on the first day for them.
Yes, yes. Now there's another halacha that to be a citizen of a city, as far as the halachas of Purim, it's enough to be a one-day citizen. So if a person goes while it's during the nighttime, from Leil Tesvav, Motzai Purim of the Prozim, he goes there before daybreak, he becomes chayiv in the mitzvahs, because a one day, krach ben yomakari, krach pruz ben yomakari pruz, it's enough to be a one day citizen, to become a citizen, as far as being chayiv in the halachos of Purim.
So Megillah again?
Everything again. No, so what the eight says, a person just wants to party but not be chayiv, is to go in after Alos HaShachar. Go in after sunrise the next morning, so then you're less than a day-long citizen, then you're not chayiv in the mitzvahs. But those who go in at night, they become chayiv, because to be a one-day citizen is enough.
So right? The fact that you're in that city makes you a citizen, you don't have to have kavanah.
So in other words, I don't know if I understood what it is exactly, but they do go to her.
No, that's what I'm saying. If they go after daybreak, they're just going to party. They're not, but if you go while it's still nighttime, you become chayv in all the mitzvahs. Even though you miss the night Megillah, you still have to read the day Megillah, and Matros Levyonim, Mishloach Manos, everything all over again. Right? Because that's a special halacha. A one-day citizen is called a citizen. The Gabei Halacha of Purim. I forget how they learned it out. It's a Gemara that they learned it out. A special din. It's enough to be a one-day citizen to be chayav in all the mitzvahs. But still, it's they're two separate Purims seemingly, and that's an amazing thing.
Where was the wall in Hebron? When was there a wall?
I guess there must have been at one point. There doesn't have to be one now, but there historically, as long as there was, and the town got resettled, even if the wall did not get rebuilt. But that's our next question. Why is it Tully in a wall? They made it Tully in Choma. Getting back to the whole story of Purim. So the plot was Lahashmi Largul Abed, to wipe all the Jews off the map. So here's the question. What would they do the day after? What do I mean to say?
Who's they?
They, the Goyim. Day after. Right, because the Pasuk says, Bereshis, Bishvil Yisrael Shnikru Reshis, Bishvil Atar Shnikru Reshis. The whole world is created for the sake of Klal Yisrael, the whole world is created for the sake of the Torah. So if there's no Klal Yisrael, there's no Torah, how will the world continue to exist? Did they? Now you could say they just weren't thinking that far ahead. Or maybe some were, some weren't. Did they have a plan? Did they have a plan of how to keep the universe running after they rid the world of Klal Yisrael?
What, are they thinking in those terms?
That they recognize such a fact.
That's what I'm saying. They're thinking, well, the whole world is only for the Jews, so we've got to figure out what we're doing the next step.
Probably they were big. Well, I'm not talking about the person in the street, you know, but there's some of these people who are big astrologers and sorcerers, et cetera, et cetera. You know, Haman, when he threw the lots, he was a big, big astrologer. And there's a principle that when the Goyim are at, just like the Goyim are at war with us on earth, so also there's a war in heaven. You know, they're Sarim, right? They're ministering angels. Are at war with the ministering angels of Am Yisrael. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu morid imach, morid sara tchila, roughly Lashon Chazal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu first, in the way that he brings victory, as he first takes down the ministering angel in heaven, and then things follow suit on earth, right? So the ministering angels, they definitely know that this is going to be a problem. This is going to be a problem. So was there a plan? Or maybe there wasn't a plan. Well, maybe there's a difference between the types of goyim. Right?
Well, didn't they think that Hashem rejected them? So if Hashem rejected them, then maybe he was going to read that
later on.
No, I read in some places that it's
they all from?
I don't know all of them, but right. So then I think they thought Hashem's replacing,
Well,
the world will go on because of them.
It's a very interesting Gemara. That, I'm talking about the exchange between Haman and Ahasuerus. That, interestingly enough, a point to make was that Haman came with money to the table. Right, Aseres Lefim Kikar Kesef. In the end, Ahasuerus turned it down. Kesef Nosen Lach. But Haman was just so good at inciting. He able to swing around Ahasuerus in just two or three lines. Gemara says, that no one was better at Lashon Hara than Haman. He was a master, right? Why did he need to offer money?
What?
Why did he need to offer money in the first place? He was very good at inciting the king. But he came with money. He came prepared to play. Of course, the Mefarshim, based on Chazal, say that he had in case the king would complain about the loss of taxes, revenue from taxes, I'm going to supplement it. But we see he was so good at incitement. It really didn't have to come to that. Right? Perhaps there was something else, aside from the taina, if you're worried about the taxes, I'll pay it out of pocket. So there's another Gemara that says a very interesting mashal. There were two guys. One guy had a big pit in his field, and he didn't know how to get rid of it. Because what are you going to do? You're going to dig up dirt from somewhere. Then you have a hole there where you dig up to fill up the pit. He had no idea. He had this big pit, and he had no way to get rid of it. Right? Another guy had a terrible dead mound of earth in his field, and he had no idea, how to get rid of it. Where is he going to dump it? Where is he going to, So, one day, these two people meet, the guy with the pit and the guy with the hill. And the guy with the pit says to the guy with the hill, I'll buy that clump of earth I have off of you because I need it, to fill in my pit. The guy says, I hate this hill so much, you could take it for free. All right? Says that was the marshal of Haman and Ahasuerus. Haman is the one with the pit. Right, and Achshur is the one with the mound. So I'll buy it off you. Yeah. I want to get rid of it so bad you could have it for free.
Where does it say that he didn't take the money?
It says, a kesef nosen loch. Now, truth is, he did take the money. He took it and he gave it back. So there is a maral on that, Persians just love taking. So I have it for free. So a kesef nosen loch, it's given to him. I mean, he took it and gave it back. Which is interesting. It means a transaction happened. And that's what Esther says. Ki nimkarnu aniv ami lashu agalabi. We were sold. A transaction actually happened. That's what I'm saying. You know, there was an inyan behind this, that the Haman brought money to the deal. There was a kinyan. There was a transaction. So Achashverosh refunded the money. But he took it and refunded it. You know, so I mean that there was a mechira. Just he was happy to, sell it and then give the money back. But he sold it. We were sold. Ki nimkarnu aniv ami. And that's interesting. So let's break it down a little bit. This chazal, and one guy has a pit, another guy has a mountain. All right, it's two goyim, Haman and Achashverosh. So what does that mean? So the Maral explains, as do other svarim, that there's a the Jewish people, make Goyim feel uncomfortable in two different ways. There's the way we make Amalek feel uncomfortable, as opposed to the way we make any other Goy feel uncomfortable. Don't make them feel uncomfortable in the same way. All right? To Amalek, we're a pit. To all the Goyim, we're a mountain. We're a mound. We're a bump. Meaning to say like this, that the unique hatred that Amalek has for Am Yisrael, and he himself is willing to do anything to be rid of us. Anything. Right? Even to the point of suicide. We read in the in Parshas Zohar, Asher Korcha, he jumped into a boiling hot tub, just to cool it down, even though he got badly burnt. Right? And that's the whenever you see someone that is willing at great personal expense, right, to do anything to rid the world of the Jewish people, you're dealing with Amok. You're not dealing with Stamagoy. Like Germany, at the end was losing the war. They were losing the war, and still, they turned all their resources. Right, just to exterminate Jews. That's Amalek. That when you're dealing with a person like that, you're dealing with Amalek, because Amalek sees us as a vacuum that has to be filled in. We're like a hole in them. Right, anything to get rid of us, because we're like a hole. A hole that needs to be filled in. Oh, thank you very much.
Sorry, I forgot.
It's okay. Thank you.
I'm not understanding something. In the story of Gemara, he says that the person that had the mound of dirt so wanted to get rid of it, he didn't even want to take money for it.
Right.
So it sounds to me like that guy has more hatred. Like, just take it away, I don't even want money, than the guy with the pit.
No.
What am I missing?
What a pit represents. Vacuum. Our existence in the world is... It was like a hole inside of Amalek's existence. That's like the nature abhors vacuum. To Amalek, we're a vacuum. Now, truth is, in the depth of it, it's because it's the other way around. Amalek only exists in a vacuum of the Jewish people, in a vacuum of Torah and Kedusha. That's where Amalek exists. But he sees it the other way around. We are a vacuum in his existence. No, really, we're a real existential threat. Right? And he's willing to do anything, odd k'day suicide missions. Right? Because...
So why do we call the Arabs that are on suicide?
That's Amalek. Amalek is not...
That's Yishmo.
No.
Mixed up.
Yeah.
What?
Sharing Gemish. They're ready. You can't separate one from the other.
We spoke about this once. Amalek's called Rashis Goyim Amalek. Head of all nations. He could be anywhere. Haman was a Persian citizen. Carried a Persian passport. Yeah. there's a Yerushalmi, that says that he was not what we would call halachically a Amaleki, in the sense that his father, Hamdasa, was not an Amaleki. And of course, there's, you know, Amalek DNA somewhere, but Amalek is more an ideology and a midah than a nation. That's why the Pasuk says, Ramchal says, Timchez Zecher Amalek, any memory of them. They're not an Am anymore. They're a virus. It's Zecher Amalek. You know, yes, there might be some DNA in them, but it makes no difference. You know, they've shared their DNA with all the nations, but that DNA is not necessarily dominant. Wherever it pops up dominant, that's an Amaleki.
So it's not really a physical Amalek. It's really more of a cerebral, behavioral.
Yes. Yes.
So then we can
and that's why
Amalek today, too.
Yes. No. And that's why Amalek still exists, even though, you know, the Shiva Amamin, like the... You know, the seven nations, right? You know, those guys, you know, the Rambam says, Kfar Ovad Zichram. We don't know, they've already intermarried. But Ram doesn't say that by Amalek. And the question is, what's the difference? Everyone intermarried already. Some Kherif came, mixed up the whole world. The answer is because Amalek is not a regular nation. It's a.
There's a clear genealogical path from Agag to Haman.
There is, you know, but you know, nation goes by the Umasom, nation goes by the father. An Italian or are you a Frenchman? Well, who was your father? That's the Am you belong to. Hamdasa, you know, Agav's father was not an Amaleki.
Maybe just because he lived in Persia.
Maybe his mother.
No, he's saying he goes.
Yeah. He does this, and he shows from Agav to Haman. You can trace it. It's not that many generations.
Doesn't mean a man like Hitler you can trace the DNA.
No, that's not what I'm Hitler, but I'm saying, but yes, with Haman to Agav.
Okay, whatever. What does this mean, like a vacuum?
Right. He can't exist wherever we are. We're a hole in him. And that's why he's willing to go up to Ad Kadei suicide. You know, because he can't live with us. He just can't. So as it were, even if it costs suicide, I really didn't lose anything. I had nothing to lose anyway, if that's the price. Right, because I can't coexist with the Jewish people. Wherever they are is a vacuum in my existence. Our existence are mutually exclusive. Where we are, he isn't.
Does this go back like to the Yaakov Esav thing, or it's totally different?
There's worse than Yaakov and Esav because Amalek is a subsection of Esav as the total concentration of the Ra in Esav. There's also, Esav has, is a much bigger framework and he has something good about him also. And that's the Inyan that his head is in Marasa Machpelah. But as it were, the essence of the evil of Esav is all concentrated in Amalek. That the Ramchal writes. Yeah.
I thought it's because he's double Esav.
Excuse me?
I thought Amalek is double Esav because Amalek's parents is Esav and a relative of Esav, his niece or something. No?
Right, Amalek came from Timnah and Eliphaz.
Okay. And I don't know.
It wasn't Eliphaz born from...
What? Yeah. Excuse me?
Wasn't
what?
Eliphaz from Israel?
Right, the son of Mochalas. Can't remember. Oh. But Timnah was... wanted to convert into Judaism. Avram and Yitzhak rejected her, so she went to Esav. But actually, yeah, just getting back to the point that the Amalek views Am Yisrael as a vacuum in their existence. Like, it's like a hole going right through them. And again, you know. I mean, you see, Haman said, you know, because Mordechai didn't bow down to him. So he goes home and he tells his wife and his friends. He told Rov Oshro, Rov Bonov, how rich he is and how great kids, and V'chol ze eineno shaveli, and it's all worth it because one Jew doesn't bow down to him. Some sugar. Right? No. we are a hole in their existence. V'chol ze eineno shaveli. He was a maniac, but he wasn't. But this wasn't part of his insanity. Here is he actually was talking sane, because that's really the nature of the adversity between Am Yisrael and Amalek, right? We are a hole inside of them, because the truth is, it's really the other way around, right? They only exist in the vacuum of Torah and Kedusha and Am Yisrael, and that's why, from their perspective, nature abhors vacuum, right? Vacuum abhors nature, right? The vacuum views nature as a vacuum to it, right? But that's not the way it is with the other goyim. That's the way it is with Amalek, and that's why it's just a very unique adversity between us and them, and that's why there's no coming to terms with them. There's no coming to grips with them. Timcha zecher Amalek mitachas hashemayim. Right? But the other nations, classical anti-Semitism, if there's anything left of it, right? That the Jews are a bump. We stick out. We're different. We're more successful. We outperform them. The hill, right? The bump. Outperform them. There's jealousy, Different, jealous, that type of stuff, and that's, If that's the problem, there are ways to get around that. Right? Like Lasu Lavo. They'll be accepting of the bump, right? And they'll all follow. Bohu Goyim L'Orech, they're all going to follow our lead. They'll be accepting of it. Get over the jealousy. There's a pit. A pit is a pit. It's a vacuum. It needs to be filled in. There's no two ways about it. No. No coexistence with a pit. Right? So here's the thing. If Haman was willing to go on a suicide mission, right, to rid the world of the Jews, like Hitler in his own day, that's whenever you see that type of hatred, that do anything to rid the world of Jews, even if it costs you everything. Right? Whenever you see that, you're seeing Amalek. Sadly, because of his position of racious goyim, he could seduce other nations into it. He'd get other people to go along with it. But, I'm sure Amalek would rather survive, somehow, ridding the world of the Jews, have a day after. He would like to, even though it's not in the cards for him. That's what the pasuk says. Rachis goyim Amalek v'achariso ade oved. He has no acharis. He has no end. He has no future. He's rachis goyim, but he has no acharis. Right? But he'd like to have one, preferably. But even if Amalek is willing to sacrifice everything to rid the world of the Jews, because he's got to fill in the vacuum in his existence, right? No way you get Achashverosh to get on board for that. So he hates the Jews like the mound, right? That's not the type of adversity that you're willing to sacrifice everything, Achashverosh would never get on board for that. A suicide mission. Right? So, was there a plan? So the Gemara talks about, that's really the next step. So one guy sees Am Yisrael as a pit, another guy sees Am Yisrael as a mound. That's the difference between how Amalek sees Am Yisrael as a... But let's get together. And you stick the mound into the pit, and the whole thing equalizes. They had a plan, right, of how they could work together. And they thought, obviously it was a mistake. That's part of the Vinafohu. Right. They thought that if they worked together, right, they could find a way to keep the world going the day after, the day after they rid the world of Jewish people.
The day means the Amalekim and the rest of the guys?
Yeah, that's right. Haman and Achashverosh. Okay. Haman and Achashverosh. And that was what the that's what that deal represented. It was a partnership. They thought they could work together, right, to keep the world going after they rid the world of Am Yisrael. And that's the depth of what goes on. Listen, I need your mound in my pit, and then everything is equalized. Right? It was an amazing conspiracy that they thought they could pull off.
They understood that the world will not go on without the Jews.
No, so I'm going to explain how to equalize. Put your mound in my pit. Right. Right. If they work together, the power of Amalek with the power of the Goyim, put the mound in the pit, everything's equalized. Now, let's go a little bit deeper into what was going on over there. Now, this you can understand, there's something that, comes up over and over and over again in the Megillah. Shushan HaBira. Right? Shushan HaBira. And it starts that way and it ends that way. How does it start that way? There was a party for the whole 127 Medinas, and then there was the Cholam and Nitzav Shoshan, a special party just for Shushan. And that's where things get interesting, by the special party by Shushan. Right, that's when the story really gets going. Bring Vashti and but a special party for Shushan. Right? Something that should ring, similar to how the story ends. One day for killing out in the whole 127 Medinas, and then one day just killing out in Shushan. Perfectly parallel. Right? Alright, when take a look that when the Gzera went out. Right? Originally. So Vayir Shushan Navocha. Right? There was sadness or confusion in the town of Shushan. Who cares? Right? It's for the Yidden. Well, Vayir Shushan Navocha. Right? And then when the whole thing is Vinafochu, Vayir Shushan Tzola Vesamecha Layudim Haysorsim Vosasimikar. Well, why is Shushan? Layudim Haysorsim Vosasimikar. So also when you talk about Zahir Shushan Navocha, then Vayir Shushan Tzal of Samecha. What's going on? Right?
The Jews were spread out in the 127.
That's right. Exactly.
We're not specifically in Shushan.
We're not specifically in Shushan. B'chol Medinos HaMelech.
That's what he says then. There are people scattered among all your nations.
Right. We're talking about Zahir Shushan. So of course, in Poshib Shat, the before she just come to explain, the Poshat say because the people in Shushan heard first because they're closest to But it's the Poshib Shat, but it's something a lot deeper, that Ha'ir Shushan. Right. What Achashverosh wanted to, do, and this was his mountain, but it was a mountain. He couldn't integrate it. He couldn't. It was sticking up. He couldn't integrate it. What he wanted to do was to bring the Midah of Malchus, the Midah called Shechina, to him. And that's the Inyan, that by this, by the big party in Shushan, he took out the clay Beis HaMikdash. V'kelim mikelim shonim. Right? The Midah called Malchus. The Midah called, Shechina. And those two are synonyms. Right? He wanted to pull and absorb that Midah himself. Right? Now, what he wanted to do, and he couldn't do it without Haman. He thought he couldn't do it without Haman. It can't be done, period. Right? But what he thought was, he wanted to make Shushan an alternative, a cosmic alternative for Yerushalayim. Now, and that's Yerushalayim is called Kishoshana, wherever you find Shoshana and Shirashirim, that's Yerushalayim. Shushan was going to come to replace the Shoshana.
That's why it's named that?
Oh, I mean, Al-Pisod, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. As the Sfarim say, Kayadua, the Midah of Malchus, the shame, you know, we have seven divine names that we use in our tefillah, connected to seven Midas. So the Midah of Malchus is Adnus. Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, Gematria 65. Right? Shushan is 650. Right? 10 times. He thought Shushan could be just his mistake was that Shushan was lacking the hay of Shoshana, which that refers to the Midah of Malchus per se in the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. The final hay is the Midah of Malchus. Because Kishagol Yisrael, Golsa Shechina Imahim, when we went to Golas, the Shechina followed us. The Shechina, you know, because Am Yisrael is in Golas. Right? The Shechina is in Golas with us. And that's what Esther Hamalka represents. She represents the Shechina that's captive in Beis HaMelech. Shechina Begalusa, as we find throughout the Zohar and the Mekubam. Shechina in Golas. And that's the scene of Esther Hamalka. By Yom HaShishi, Vatilbash Esther Malchus. Lov Sharuach HaKodesh, Chazal say. The Midah of Malchus was Chalene, and she was a captive in the house of the king. And that was the plot. You know, the Shechina's in Golos. So Gemara in Yuma, the Afsamach Tes, that when the Bais was Nechrav, you know, so we used to say Akel HaGod HaGivar V'Anora in our tefillahs, because Moshe Ben already said it. Akel HaGod HaGivar V'Anora, Shelo Yisapai V'Gash Shochad. Jews always said HaGod HaGivar V'Anora even before Anshei Gas Gadol institutionalized prayer, because we copied Moshe Rabbeinu, right? So then the bias was Nechrav. And Daniel said, you know, the Goyim are beating up on us, Aye Gvurosov. So he stopped saying Gibor, right? All right, and Yirmiyo said, right? In this place where the Shechina was once revealed, right? All right, now Shualim Hilchubo, right? Aye no Rosov. Until came Anche Kresagdo and said, Adrabba, Heineng Vurosov, Heineng Norosov, just the opposite. Right? Heineng Vurosov, because if the going beat up an Am Yisrael and Akarj Baruch Hu does nothing, so he's obviously restraining himself. Ezu Gibor Akavash Yisrael. Right? And, you know, and Legabe Neira, they said, okay, that il mole moro shall Karish Baruch Hu ha'ech umeich ho'is kaim ben ha'umas. If not for the awesomeness of Karish Baruch Hu, how can Am Yisrael survive in Golos? Right? So it means that Am Yisrael surviving Golos is called Neira. That means, because we survive, because the Shechina used to be revealed in the Beis HaMikdash, accompanied us, and that's how we survive. The Radziner, the Sod Yesharim, says that, how did Anshei Kas Hagdola understand what Daniel and Yirmiyahu didn't understand? You know why? Because they lived through the Nes of Purim. And that's what Nes of Purim taught us, the V'nafochu. You know, that, you know, sometimes, you know, you have to learn how to see God in the hard times. See in the Hester Panim, right? See in the Hester Panim, Esther Menatar V'naim, Nochi Asta Esther Panai. The Anshei Kas Hagdola actually learned that from the Nes of Purim, to look for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, even in the Hester Panim. And they saw Gvuroisov and Noiroisov. Right, but the point that is that, you know, the Shechina is with us in Golos. Right? Ahasuerus wanted to conquer the Shechina for himself. Right? You know, the divine presence in this world is what keeps the world going. The Sava Koshel Shielo Dira Batachtonim. He tried to He tried to absorb it. Right. Right, and that's all represented by, you know, Esther being Bebeis Achashverosh. Right, the Shechina is captive. Right, and they wanted to find a way. So we're going to rid the world of Am Yisrael, but the power that Am Yisrael was carried, that they're like a lightning rod attracting, because they take the Shechina wherever they go, they wanted to absorb that. And they want to set up Shushan HaBira as an alternative to Yerushalayim, that the power of the Shechina, even though they weren't interested in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the power of the Shechina would be there. And that's how the world was going to continue. Shushan instead of the Shoshana. Right? The clay of the Beis HaMikdash were there. Right?
So it's a little bit funny even that from all the women that Ahasuerus brought in front of him, that he chose Esther.
Yes.
Which was, when you say Esther Malka, was the representation of the Shekhinah, the Malchus. Yes. And he wanted the Malchus.
That's right.
So there was something that was pulling her, him, yes, to make this choice.
Yes. Except that he thought it was all going, subconsciously, going in this direction. It was all leading to the Binah Fochel.
What did you say earlier that he needed Haman for this, though?
All right. Well, we're getting there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The so the Indian was that, like we said, you know, he wanted the Malchus, but the Malchus couldn't get in thrice. So it was a bump protruding outwards. So now Haman is that pit that could equalize. So now to understand deeper, right, the you know, what Haman would provide, right, which is his goal of Rashis Goyim, his position of Rashis Goyim, right? And again, you know, we don't know the details, we just know what the Sfarim say, you know, generally speaking, that the, you know, Haman would provide an ideology, a Rashis Goyim, an ideology, you know, to make sense out of the whole thing. That's what it sticks up. You know, you can't get your head around it. All right, well, we could fit into this pit, as it were. You know, of course, Amalek's ideology is all lies. But they provide a narrative that would somehow make sense, like the media does, you know, provide a narrative that would somehow make sense out of this. That's what it means, fit into the pit, even though it's a pit, it's nothingness. Haman is all lies, and their philosophy is all a bunch of lies. Right, but he would provide, you know, a das, type of dea, right, reishis goyim, right, some type of ideology to make sense out of the whole thing. They had no idea, you know, just like they couldn't physically internalize the Shekhinah, so that also they couldn't get their heads around it. Right. And Haman would provide a way, you know, they provide a way. Like a culture, a religion. And that's seeing that Haman made himself in Avodah Zarah, and everyone bowed down to Haman because he was made in Avodah Zarah. And Ahasuerus supported that. He can't see Valo HaMelech. He was going to provide some type of religion, ideology, that could incorporate the Shekhinah. They had to figure out how to handle with it. Right? And that's what Haman would provide. That's called fitting the mountain into the pit, getting around it, you know. That was the idea. That was the plot. And they needed each other, Haman and Ahasuerus. And that's what it means, you know, they made a partnership. And Haman came to, you know, he was buying the mountain. Saying, you know, listen, I don't look at the Jewish people the way you look at them, right? And, you know, I can't do this myself, and you can't do it yourself. I need to buy in to your perspective on them. And we put our two perspectives together. You might be able to, you know, capture the Shekhinah, right? Not let it dissipate after we rid the world of the Jewish people. We keep the Shekhinah sandwiched between us, right? And that's how we're going to keep it going. And that was the Shushan conspiracy, to set up Shushan Abira as an alternative to Yerushalayim, as a, what, you know, you should know, that this was the Migdal Bavo idea also, except that was before Bezer was ever made, that they had this idea of like making an alternative to Yerushalayim. It was the same concept. They used Achdus, you know. Ahasuerus, you know, was just trying to capture the Shekhinah of the Jewish people, you know, to, right?
Why do they want it if it's not that they want the Kedusha, but they want it just
to survive? The world doesn't continue. The world doesn't continue. If you don't find a way to capture the Shekhinah, you know, the universe would. There's no day after. Right? So each one having a unique angle on the Jewish people, they want to combine the angles. And they could close the circuit, find a way to sandwich the Shekhinah between them, and keep that energy, you know, without the Jewish people. So Haman would be the ideologue or the head of the church, and Achashverosh would be the Malchus, and that's how they sandwiched the Shekhinah between them. That's what they thought they could do. And the Shekhinah really was in Shushan at the time, because Esther was there. And that's what facilitated their illusion that they could pull this off. Because the Shekhinah really was there.
How could they know that?
They were amazing. They were big astrologers. And also, there was the subconscious was doing a lot more than the conscious. Because whatever happens on earth is really, there's a fight between the Sarim and Shemaim also. Right. And that's all part of the Nafohu. Right. It's just such an amazing Megillah. Everything. You should know everything from the first half, you'll see paralleled in the second half. Everything. Right? And of course, the biggest hypocrite of them all is Achashverosh. Right. Right, one day, he's, Jew's worst enemy. Next day, he's Jew's best friend. So, of course, whatever he stoops at Haman when Haman falls out of favor, is really what Achashverosh himself wanted to do. Right? He's just projecting it all, throwing it all on Haman, because his mood shifted. Right? Amazing. Anyway, it's our day and age.
What exactly is the meat of Malchus aside from Shower?
The Shekhinah is called Malchus.
What is that?
It is the Ba'ata Mechaya Eskulam. That's the meat of Malchus. That's what makes everything exist. Without the Shekhinah, you take the Shekhinah away, then the world will go back into nothingness.
But it has nothing to do with Kedusha, it's just power.
No, well, that's what they thought. They thought that you could, as it were, capture, bottle the power. The Jewish people were carrying the power. You could bottle it, while it's still in Gullus. But what I'm saying is that the tide has turned, right? And Vahaman nofel alamita, right? Right, and and Haman's falling on, as the Chazal tells us, the Malach made him fall on top of Esther. And found the king walks in and sees a compromised position, right? Hagam lichvosh es hamalka imi babayis. That's exactly what Achashverosh wanted to do. He's just projecting it all on Haman. Lichvosh es hamalka imi babayis. That's exactly what Achashverosh wanted to do. Capture the Malka, the Shekhinah, and bring it to him. So now he's all throwing it on him, right?
In David Foreman's book, he says that word actually means conquer.
Yeah.
He says it's a military word. When we usually say, well, he would seduce the queen right in my house. But he says that it's actually a military word to mean conquer.
That's what we're saying.
Which is exactly what you're saying here.
Yes. And that's it. But that was exactly, that was the whole plot. Lichvosh es hamalka imi babayis. Except now he's just throwing it all on Haman, right? That was exactly what they planned to do. That was the whole plot. Except now.
Yeah. There's a lot of spiritual recognition from Haman and Achashverosh. They recognize the spiritual qualities of what's making the world go on. Today, you don't feel that there's the spiritual recognition, like God is like out of the picture.
Yeah.
So how are we still existing with than the Amaleki and the Haman ideas, if God is out of the picture, really?
He's not out of the picture because we have Purim every year and we get our bearings straight. We get reminded.
But I'm talking about the outside world. That
some of them do. I don't know. Some of them do. But it's not based on them. It's based on us, and we are still here.
Right.
It's not based on that. I mean, it's only the last 200 years or
but
so.
But Jews are
this where is God thing.
Yeah.
It's very recent. The rest of the world, I mean, because we live in our tongues, that seems so real to us. Everyone believed in God in some spiritual power.
But now the Jews, the hatred of the Jews is sort of a physical hatred of us versus the spiritual hatred.
Not really. According to Esther Wayne's classes, what did wars always used to be about? Land. They're not now. Now it's spiritual. Now ISIS is saying their God is the right God. And we're saying, no, it's our God. It's changed.
No, years ago it was not land.
It was always about land.
No, it was religion.
Empires. Okay. Look at the story. It's always about conquering land. Yes,
okay. But if you go to art museums, if you go to museums, look at the paintings that were done 600 and 700 years ago. It was either sex. It was religion. You have the religious paintings. Yeah.
War was always about conquering territory and having more land. I want to be the empire I want.
It was also...
Okay, that's what it was about. It's not landing. Well, now it's spiritual fights. It is much more moving in that direction.
But anyway, the... they bring it full circle. So that's saying, Vayir Shushan Navocha, Vayir Shushan Tzalav Asamecha, because the Yir Shushan really is where the Shekhinah was at that time. That's where it was. Except that the revelation was the Shekhinah can never be happy outside of Eretz Yisrael. The Shekhinah can never be happy with Am Yisrael oppressed. So Ir Shushan Navocha, when Exera came out, then Vayir Shushan Tzalav Asamecha, it's referring to the Shekhinah. And then, La'udim Ma'isor, the Yidin themselves, you know, Arav Simcha Sasav Ikar. Right? The Shekhinah belongs to Am Yisrael, and the Shekhinah belongs in Eretz Yisrael. You know, if it's ever in Chutzlarts, it's not really resident there. It's like an embassy. That, you know, in Yisrael, it has the din of the soil, you know, of the mother country. Shekhinah is never happy in Chutzlarts. Shekhinah is never happy if Am Yisrael is oppressed.
Right. Why was it that Mordechai didn't want Esther to reveal? On one hand, you know, she's sort of a traitor to that scheme. On the other hand, maybe she would decide to join him.
No, I mean, look, it was an issue of the right time. That was the issue of the right time. At one point, she does, you know, but you have to wait for the right time. Okay, but it's... So now this is what Esther says. You know, Yinasein gam mochor la Yehudim. I want tomorrow also. That was the special din of killing in Shushan, which made Shushan Purim, which by the way, in Halacha, there is one place that that you keep the 15th, even though it has no wall from the days of Yehoshua ben Nun, Shushan itself. Hmm. Persian Jews that, if they know where Shushan is, they keep the Purim on the 15th. Because that's where the Nes happened. So it's there and anywhere else that's walled, and the lashon of the Yerushalmi that the Ram brings is that to make a zikaron for Yerushalayim, make a zikaron for Yerushalayim. That was the motivation of Shushan Purim, zikaron liYerushalayim. Like to teach you, Yerushalayim can never be usurped. There's no replacing Yerushalayim. So gam mochar, because your plan for the day after, for mochar, after you killed all the Jews, your plan was to make Shushan an alternative to Yerushalayim. That's how you're going to keep the world going. So I want for Mochar a special day of killing out in Shushan. Right? Just, you know, the hefech of that. Right? There is no replacing Yerushalayim. There is no replacing Yerushalayim. And that's what it means that, you know, the wall, you know, the walls of Yerushalayim were never really breached. That's an amazing halacha, that it's totally in Chaima, but the Chaima doesn't have to be actually built. Now, the Chaima of Yerushalayim now are not the original Chaima, built by the Ottoman Empire. It's an interesting halacha that you pretend that it's still walled. Pretend. That's the halacha, that's amazing. To teach you that the walls of Yerushalayim can never be broken. You can never really break Yerushalayim, breach the city, and permanently move the Shekhinah elsewhere. The Shekhinah may appear elsewhere to escort Am Yisrael, but there's no really breaking the walls of Yerushalayim. There's no real breaking of the walls of Yerushalayim. Those walls stand unbreakable, spiritual walls. The Shekhinah always is there. That's its base of operations. It has embassies, but there's no replacing Yerushalayim. Right, that's mean the walls were never really broken. You know, the spiritual power of the walls, the physical walls were broken, but they're still, you know, the Shekhinah is always safe in Yerushalayim. Right, Shekhinah will always go back there. There's no moving the Shekhinah elsewhere.
So right? All walled cities?
All walled from the days of Yeshua ben Nun.
Why?
What?
Why?
Because that's what the power of the wall. There's no, I mean, there's another depth to that. That Amalek is connected to the snake that says that he lives under the Gader because he's Poritz Gidro Shel Olam. He broke the fence of the world, you know. As it were, represents that the cosmic fence is rebuilt. You know, those walls represent, you know, the wall between the good and the bad. And the good is on the inside of reality and the bad is on the outside of reality, which is what's going to be in the future. And that's what it is. That's why Shushan Purim and Purim the Prozim do not coexist. Because one is connected to the present, one is connected to the future. One is connected to Hayom, Hayom La Sosam, and the other one is Besod Umochar LeKabel Scharam. They don't, one is the Purim of the present, one is the Purim of the future. The Purim of the present is that we were saved from annihilation, even though we're still in Golos, which is the reason why we don't say Halel on Purim, Akati Avdi Achashverosh, we're still slaves of Achashverosh. Wasn't a full redemption. That's the Purim of the present, but it's also the power of Purim that represents the future. When the Shekhinah goes back to Eretz Yisrael, Sechazena Einenu, Beshuv Chol Etzion. That's what Shushan Purim represents. Right? If the Shekhinah is in Golos with us, it's not here to stay. That anyone could think, the Goyim could think they could latch onto it and siphon its power. And that's what Shushan Purim represents. It's the Purim of the future. The Shekhinah is going to go back to Eretz Yisrael. Right? The walls that were seemingly broken down are going to be rebuilt. Right? So that's why the two cannot be, there's no such thing as, you know, because one is the Purim of the present, one is the Purim of the future. Two separate times. Shushan Purim is a special din of remembering Eretz Yisrael. As Lashon Yerushalmi, Zikaron LeYerushalayim, right? That there's no replacing Yerushalayim. Right? There is, even if the Shekhinah is in Golos, you can't latch, the Goyim can't think that they could latch onto it and keep it by them. It belongs in Yerushalayim, and it will make it back to Yerushalayim. All right.
Rebecca, yes. So why is Shushan Purim not just Yerushalayim? Why should it be at every walled city if the whole thing was trying to replace?
Yeah, it's because that is correct. It was all covered for Yerushalayim, but it has to do with the significance of a wall. That the walls of Mimos Yeshua ben Nun represent the walls, you know, the walls, cosmic walls, walls around reality. That it should be that good is in reality and, you know, anything that's evil is ex-reality. Seemingly those walls got shattered, and that's why there's, you know, the good and the evil are intermingled. Right? But so we want to remember the power of the walls, and that's what Chazal darshan, Ani choma v'shadai k'migdolos, Ani choma zu Torah. Right? The chomos Yerushalayim represent the Torah, the power of the Torah. You know, that's a... It's talking about, you know, referring that, you know, it's the Purim of the future where everything will be restored, that the good will be in reality and all the ra will be outside of reality. So it's everything about Shushan Purim is the Shushan of the is the Purim of the future. All right. With this one more point, and then we'll in Maseches Tamid and Maseches Midas, it talks about the lishkas, right? The different chambers that they had in the Beis Hamikdash. They had offices where they kept supplies, and so there was one office that was called Shushan Abira. It was an office called Shushan Abira. I can't remember. I want to look up for Ikar. I can't remember exactly what they kept there, what the function was. Right. One office, you know, some of them were in Kodesh, some of them were in Kodesh and Chol. I don't remember offhand the exact position of where it was, whether it was Kodesh or Chulin, but it makes no difference for our purposes. Yeah, but it was a lishka called Shushan HaBira. Right? So on last Purim I was by my Rebbe, Moshe Shapiro, Zachar Levrach. So I asked him. You know, it was obviously Shushan Purim in Yerushalayim. You know, why was it? You want Chazal when they, you know, Ezra, they rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. They want to remember Shushan. They made a lishka called Shushan HaBira. He says, Zayachelk mi'an v'nafochu. Zayachelk mi'an v'nafochu. Right? That as they wanted with Shushan to replace Yerushalayim, and just the opposite, the Tikkun of Purim, you know, accelerated the return of the Shechina, right, to the Shoshana. And that was it, to remember that that's all part of v'nafochu, that whole plot, you know, to make Shushan HaBira a replacement for Yerushalayim, that was all part of what backfired. And the Nes of Purim accelerated, you know, the rebuilding of the second temple, and they want to make a zecher. That's part of v'nafochu, that they wanted to make Shushan a replacement for Yerushalayim, and that's what, if anything, that's part of v'nafochu, that it accelerated the rightful return of the Shechina, and they want to make a zecher. So they made a lishkan, a basement called Shushan HaBira, to make a zecher for that. They tried to replace it, right, with Shushan, and it went back to the Shoshana. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, Freilich and Purim. Everyone's invited to come visit. The brachas we give, 6:59.